Hearty welcome to each one of you this morning. It is good to be in your midst, to again have an opportunity to look into God's Word and allow the Spirit to meditate, as you meditate on your Word, to allow Him to speak to us in a special way, through our hearts and through our minds as we focus. This morning I'm actually going to speak on a portion of Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. It says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip, or you could say, from preventing them from drifting. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, a reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. May God bless the reading of his word. This morning I've entitled my message, Drifting. And when you think of drifting, drifting is a slow process of change that occurs over time. We're not usually aware of it until the change becomes great enough for you and I to notice. There's many Christians that have found themselves outside of God's will, trapped in sin, in doubt, and in defeat. And when you think of drifting, drifting is dangerous. And it's time for Christians to anchor themselves in the Word of God. When God's Word is the anchor of your life, you will not drift. If you do not read the Word of God, nor talk to God, nor bring your issues to Him, nor worship Him, you and I are going to drift. When you look around in the world today, versus even 20-some years ago, it seems that more people cared for one another than they do now. People respected one another. They encouraged one another. They honored their leaders. They were interested in spiritual things. We also noticed that families prayed together. They had at least one meal together. They did family devotions. And now it seems like it's getting less and less as time goes on. But even if you look further back, even 30 years, I don't want to go too far that I wasn't born at that time. Many people have drifted from God or kept godly values. Things you thought that certain people would never do, and you see them doing those things today. I guess one thing that stands out for me the most, and I'm sure there's many other things, is that as I was growing up on the farm till today, the amount of people I see working out in the fields on a Sunday. People I never expected. People I thought were dedicated, godly men. And they're the ones working on Sunday. People I respected, people that I looked up to as I was growing up. Does that change the respect that I had for that person? So what made them do what they're doing today, which is sin, versus 30-some years ago? Verse 1 in our text says that we ought to pay much closer attention than ever to the truth. The writer, he's stressing in a few words, more earnest heed or just much closer attention. And that is a warning for us as believers to follow so that you and I do not drift. And when you think of drifting, it happens slowly. And it happens over time. And it's usually not a fast process. Maybe you're asking yourself today, how does it happen? It happens when you and I move away from the foundation of God's Word. That is when change takes place in your life. And when it begins slowly and then starts picking up. And before long, you're going to look back and you're going to think to yourself, is this how I was brought up? Is this how we did things? Is this how we held certain things important in our lives? And now look how far we've drifted. You and I, we can look around in our society today. And where we started from, we've seen leaders come and gone. People have made decisions where obviously many have agreed to. And we can now see how far we've drifted. We see how things are done differently, and many of those things are done without God. You know, Nehemiah, he leaves a beautiful example that whenever he was faced with a task, with a decision, or with an obstacle, his first response was prayer. He went to God. In Joshua 9, we find the Israelites making a treaty without first seeking God. And the result affected generations to come. God is being left out of many decisions that are being made today. That means that we as believers, we have drifted from the foundation of God's Word, the anchor of our spiritual life. So when you think about drifting, it is always dangerous to drift. Many times when we think of drifting, we think of being in a boat. So when you have that picture in your mind, drifting in a boat, what comes to thought? Does drifting mean that we don't care? Or does it say that I'm not in control? Or does it say that anyway will be okay? It doesn't really matter. Drifting, my friends, is dangerous. Drifting as a nation is dangerous. And if you looked around today, and I think many of us would have seen things change. And when we drift, we may ask ourselves, how did we get here? Nobody decided that is where I want to go. Nobody decided that is where I want to be. And yet, where most of us want to be is where we've left behind those things that are God-honoring. Even as a nation as a whole. The writer of Hebrews, he wrote this for a reason. And that is to encourage all of us to pay attention to God's word and obey it. And we can see as we read further in the book of Hebrews that admonishing becomes stronger regarding the danger from drifting from God's word to defying God's word. We also know that God doesn't sit idle and permit his children to rebel against him. He will continue to speak to them and chasten if need be. And this warning is written to believers. For the writer includes himself when he writes the word "we." The danger here is that the neglecting of our salvation. Notice he doesn't write rejecting, but neglecting. He is not encouraging sinners to become Christians. Rather, he's encouraging Christians to pay close attention to the great salvation that you and I have received from our Lord. Verse 2, for if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast. There's more spiritual promises are caused by neglect than perhaps by any other failure on our part. Later in Hebrews chapter 6, the writer uses the illustration of an anchor to show how confident we can be in the promises of God. When you and I neglect God's word, prayer, worshiping with God's people and other opportunities for our spiritual growth, we know what the result's going to be. We're going to start drifting. Physical drifting comes when we don't use an anchor. And we usually think of an anchor in a boat that we drop into the bottom of the lake so that you and I don't drift. The boat may drift back and forth depending on the wind, but the anchor won't move. Spiritually, our anchor is God's word. And his word doesn't change. It is always the same. The author, he warns them not to get carried away with people's opinions, but instead that we're to hold fast and remain anchored in the Word of God, because they are God's words. Now, I read a story of a pastor who preached a series of sermons titled The Sins of the Saints. And he was reprimanded by a member of the church. And after all, said the member, sin in the life of a Christian is different from sin in the lives of other people. Yes, replied the pastor, it is worse. We need to pay closer attention to what we have heard, so that you and I don't drift. It can take a lot of effort just hearing the Word of God, and that is a choice that we have to make. We can go to church, we can listen to songs being sung, the message being spoken, and we can hear a lot of sounds, but not hear what is being said. We can hear sounds, but we can't hear the truth of the message. That is why he says what he does. For this reason, we ought to pay much closer attention. It is very, very clear that if you and I don't listen, and if we don't pay attention, and if we don't care, we will find ourselves drifting and we're going to wonder, how did I get here? If you and I are drifting, how are we drifting? When we drift, that means we're moving along in a current. The number one current in America is immorality, which is sin, wickedness, and evil. And they've decided that they're going to practice sexual activities any way that they choose to do so. Brings me to Romans 1, 26 and 27, where it says, "For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against natural or nature." 27, "Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lusts for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due." It also reminds me of the wickedness that was in the people of Sodom and Gomorrah just before that city got destroyed. So where does that lead us to? It leads to the ruin of marriages, relationships, even deaths in families. We also see much idolatry and fornication going on, basically spouses cheating on one another. And we wonder why man has become so wicked. Because it usually leads to jealousy and envy. And through all of this, the children are the ones that are left suffering. That is the first current. In America, the second current is a financial current. And if you think about it, it's easy to get into debt. They do this wonderful favor of sending a little plastic card in the mail and telling you you can have whatever you want. It's called a credit card. Nothing wrong with a credit card, but if you can't manage on how to use it, it can get you into trouble very, very quickly. We also have a political current, which is filled with confusion. I don't think it's only in America, I think it's in Canada as well. So what do people believe? We have confusion everywhere. Why do they allow this? Why do they allow that? Why doesn't someone do something about it? And many times confusion comes from the devil. John 8:44, when he speaks referring to the devil, he speaks a lie and he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. And the Bible also tells us that he comes as an angel of light. No wonder the world is a messed up place. But it is the word of God that is going to help us through life. Romans 12:2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect will of God." Another current that we have is a current of liberalism. Everyone standing behind the pulpit is not always preaching the Word of God. Many are preaching all kinds of ideas that have nothing to do with the truth of the gospel. And there are people who are so committed to their way of life that they don't want people preaching about the gospel. But for you to come along and to tell them what they're doing is fine. And before you know it, people have drifted away because that is the kind of current that we're in. So when I think of all those things, it makes me concerned where we are and where we're going. It seems like every facet in our life is in danger. So why do we drift as believers? We're talking about people who have trusted Jesus Christ, who are going to church or have been going to church, maybe even been baptized, and then something happens in their life and they start drifting. Drifting doesn't take any effort in life. It is easy to drift because it's effortless. Because all you have to do is to drift away from the Word of God. So what happens? You drift further and further from God. And you also drift faster and faster and further away from Him. And you may ask yourselves, how do I stop from drifting? The first thing that we have to do is to make a decision that I'm not going to live this way anymore and allow God to be in control of my life. To do what He wants you to do. And to be what He wants you to be. And to be willing to change where and what God wants me to change from, because I don't want to ruin my family, my life, my future, and look back and ask myself, what have I done with my life? You and I don't want to live that life. Those are some of the signs of drifting. We also drift from the desire for God's Word. When you and I go on day after day without reading the Word of God, you and I are going to drift. That is the anchor of our life. Another area that you and I drift is when there's more than a desire to pray. You need to have that one-on-one with God so that you know where you're going and where He wants you to go. Another thing that happens is that it doesn't take long and you drift even from the desire to give. When God is not in the center of your life, you will not have that desire. And many times we wonder why people get into trouble spiritually, financially. And And when you drift, everything becomes influenced by it. And what I mean by that is when you're drifting in sin, be it cheating, be it lying, be it alcohol, smoking, pornography, living a life of envy, etc., it will affect your spiritual life, your family, your friends, your workplace. And when you and I drift and we don't recognize that awareness or His awareness like we did when we were in tune with God, there is no longer a part of your thinking process or even priorities in your life. They are gone. And it doesn't take long. And there's a desire for those ways of the world to do what they do, to be involved like them. And the consequences are that you will be out of the will of God. You will miss out on God's plan because He has the best plan for you. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So when people who heard the message spoken or delivered through angels, and they were greatly, or they were justly punished when they disobeyed the law, how can we as believers escape punishment when we neglect the great message delivered through the messenger, the Son, or through the Holy Spirit? How can you and I neglect His word when He's speaking to us? The writer, he writes the word we 5 times in this short portion of Scripture. And he's warning us as believers, including himself, about neglecting salvation and losing out on the opportunity to reign with Christ. In Philippians 2, 12 and 13, it says, therefore, my beloved, as you always have obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work at your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. God is pleased when you and I live our lives for Him. Because I want to ask you, have you ever met a person that lives a life fulfilled living in sin? Where there is no fulfillment, you are going to grieve the heart of God. Many marriages have fallen apart and there's brokenness. There's a heart that is grieving because of the love that was there. But is it any different when you and I sin? What is God's heart like? Is it grieving because of the sin that has been committed? When you drift, it doesn't take long, and you've developed a hardness in your heart. How do we recover? We need to realize that we've drifted from God. We need to repent of the sin that we've been living in. That means that we turn away from the sin that we're living in and follow God. Repentance is walking away from the sin, not just repenting and then you continue living in that sin. We turn with an attitude of submission and obedience to God. For drifting, my friends, we need to repent of it, follow His ways. Verse 4, God also testified to this salvation by signs, various miracles, wonders, and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. God added his confirmation to the gospel message through supernatural acts such as healing the sick and the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2, verse 22, just after the Lord has sent down the Holy Spirit, Peter, he's addressing the crowd, and he's saying to the men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man approved by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. And the author of Hebrews, he's telling these believers, look, you cannot go on and neglect the gospel. See what God has all done before you, as you yourselves know. We see that people have drifted from God in Bible times, and it is no different today. People are still drifting from God. This morning I want to encourage you, like it says in verse 1, to pay much closer attention than ever to the truths that you and I have heard. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we want to thank you that your word again is alive and powerful. Father, we know that your word is the anchor of our life. Your word is the strength that we can continue on. It gives us direction. It gives us peace. Father, we thank you that it is your word that can keep us stable and secure. Father, may we not neglect what your word says, but that again we would pay closer attention as we read and meditate on it. Father, we just pray that you would continue to put that desire into our hearts, even though we may struggle to pick up the Bible and read it, Lord. We just pray that you will continue to show us, to nudge us, because we know there's great fulfillment in it. We also know, Lord, that if we don't read your word, we're going to drift. Father, we just pray that each one of us will be uplifted because of the power in your word. Father, we pray for the struggling hearts here this morning. Lord, you know each heart. You know each battle that they're facing. Father, may you just grab their attention, that they would focus on you. Lord, that you would continue to lead them, that you would continue to draw them. Father, we thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask all these things in your precious name. Amen. Furthermore, if nothing else to present to you this morning, I want to thank you for coming. And my prayer is that God again would have spoken to you as we pay much closer attention to his word. Let us bow for the benediction. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. You may go in the peace of the Lord.